Timory Millington has been a passionate advocate for life as long as she can remember. Even with a busy speaking and radio schedule, she finds time to devote to her creative love of dance. Don Johnson is an author, speaker, and major motion picture film producer. Both hold master's degrees in theology, and together they cover the week's hottest stories from a Catholic worldview. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending with Don and Timory.
The last couple of weeks, Don and I have been talking a lot about the Weinstein situation and just the scandal that continues to break. Just another piece came out about Terry Richardson, who's well known for basically doing pornography shoots. Some people can say soft porn. You can say whatever you want. I'm sorry, porn is porn. That being said, he's one of the main photographers that's been known for working with Vogue, GQ, and Glamour. Guess what? You have different magazines and other moguls. For example, at Condé Nast, is that how you say it?
Yeah,
Condé Nast, who are saying that we will no longer work with Terry Richardson because of the scandal of just how filthy he has been and the sexual abuse that he has allegedly been involved in. And again, we can keep saying allegedly, and, you know, as media people, we kind of have to be careful with what we say. But you guys, this sexual abuse is just coming out after one after another. And I keep looking at it and thinking, are people just willing to share because it's popular right now to be a victim of sexual abuse? Or because it's the new topic that everyone's willing to discuss? Whereas you have had men for years who have known about the sexual abuse of minors and young girls who have kept it completely silent.
Yeah, on one hand, of course, as we talked about with the Me Too campaign, we want this out there. We want these stories out there. We want to come alongside all of these women who are now sharing their stories, and boys, by the way, not just girls, but boys who are sharing those women, and say, we support you. We want to get you as much help as we can. We want to stop these guys. On the other hand, I totally get the big eye roll, frankly. I've been rolling my eyes, too. Oh, really? A porn photographer has, I mean, come on. Here's the pictures. This guy takes pictures of women simulating oral sex with bananas. He takes pictures of models urinating in snow. His now wife, he first met her taking pictures of her in a trash can wearing a slut tiara. I mean, this guy is a well-known, you said it correctly, pornography photographer. Mm-hmm. And to think that a porn photographer would be above now here. OK, so I want to be very careful in how I say this, because I don't want people to get the wrong notion. But at one level, what we are talking about here is a difference in degree, not necessarily in kind. And again, I want to be very careful. There is a difference between a shoot where a woman agrees to take her clothes off and get pictures taken of her,
right,
and the man abusing her. Of course, there's a difference in kind and quality. But at one level, what we have here is men objectifying and using women, right? So men treating women, or boys or whatever, but treating other people as objects. That's what all of those things are. That's what pornography is. That's what every bit of sexual immorality in the culture is, fundamentally. If you accept that, this is all I'm saying, like, if you accept that it is okay to use other people as objects, then it doesn't, it makes no sense to me why you would be surprised that I would just take that to the next degree and use you, because I'm no longer seeing you as a person, I'm seeing you as an object. That's what all of these abuse stories are. Men in powerful positions using, objectifying other people. But we grant, I'm just saying, I'm not defending, I'm glad this is all coming out, but on one hand, it's hard for me to say how you can say that, you know, porn is a great thing, porn has no problems, porn is good, and we can have all of these Nickelodeon shows that this guy worked on for decades.
This is another person we've not even mentioned.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yet.
We haven't even got to
we
this guy.
Even
oh, okay. That's right.
So there's
the other story was the guy who has written and produced
Dan Schneider
most of the hot Nickelodeon shows for the past however many years.
For example, Zoe 101, iCarly, Victorious, The Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, What I Like About You. These are the children I grew up watching who have now struggled for years with teen pregnancy, alcohol and drug abuse, all these different elements. And it's coming out that this man, Dan Schneider, has been sexually abusing them for years.
Nasty, nasty story.
For years.
When you start getting into the story, it is just so repulsive and so nasty. And again, when you look at what the guy produced and the stories, yes, we should have stopped this many, many years ago. But again, as a culture, I don't want to sound crass here, but as a culture, we should have stopped watching these terrible shows. When you start digging into some of these shows, they are sexually explicit. And listen, I wasn't a guy who, you know, knew Hollywood a whole bunch when I moved to Southern California 25 years ago. But here's what I did know. When I walked around, you can walk around Southern California, and this is what I did. And I had a couple of pretty cute young daughters, I'll be honest. They were cute. And I cannot tell you, it's innumerable, the number of times I've had people approach me on the street who are, quote, talent agents, mm-hmm. who want my, and this is when my kids were like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They would want me to come and make them stars. And I get why some parents do this, but of course I'm not going to do that. For one thing, do I not have eyes to see what happens to every child star in the world? Right? I mean, this has not been in the dark. Look at just about every young child star that has come up through the Hollywood system. How many of them are healthy and wise and mature young adults? Thankfully, some of them have found healing, but far too many of them have been completely wrecked by the experience. If they're not dead.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and it makes me think, too, and this is not something that I actually ever really share or talk about, but, you know, I chose to go to school rather than continue on with dancing. Now, Grant, I did think I would be able to dance at the same time, and I had this unrealistic view that things would work the way I had hoped. But part of the reason I suddenly dove into the path of going to John Paul the Great Catholic University, my alma mater, is I looked at what was taking place with the dance industry. I was a very talented individual, and I had also spent a lot of time around a lot of people in the dancing industry who also stepped into Hollywood. And I have to tell you something. I was afraid of what I would give into. And that's a huge part of the reason I turned and chose to go down the path of education at that time, because my faith mattered to me. And I remember when I wrote for grad school for my, you know, essay for some of the entrance essay for grad school. And I talked about how, you know, we all have different paths and we never believe the path our Lord would take us down and the gifts he gives us. But sometimes with those gifts are great temptations. You know, we read in scripture, remember that verse where it talks about what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world, but he lost his soul? And this is what we're seeing over and over again with these children proteges and these talented people, just like your daughter could have been, just like I could have been. And, you know, I look, Don, and I see, for example, all of these videos and pictures of iCarly, the Amanda Show, Drake and Josh, and they're doing these little clips and pictures. And one after another, I am being slammed in the face with all of these little sexual innuendos, hand gestures, you name it. And I think, you know what? Don and I are sitting here on Facebook Live, and we're not making any nasty hand gestures trying to give secondary meanings to anything. But they are. They're taking little kids, talking about basic kid things, and they're throwing things in there and, you know, different verbiage in there to make something funny about sex.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting how you go back and look back at some of these programs now in light of what we know now. Like, if you watch this program, knowing that the producer and writer of this program is sexually molesting that actor after the shoot is done, does that dirty joke that he made that 10-year-old say, does that now seem funny, the joke that you laughed at? Or all of the sexually promiscuous plot lines that we see continually, one after another, in basically every show, are those as funny if you now know that that actor was sexually abused and was forced into a promiscuous situation in order to get that job?
Right.
My point is, if you accept the joke, if you will, if you accept the culture, that I think you almost have to accept it without looking at the reality behind it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the porn industry is a good one. Think of a movie that's funny on some levels, but also very insidious and dirty on many levels. Love Actually. Part of the plot of Love Actually is that these two porn stars fall in love, okay? And the porn industry in that movie is presented as, one, something that very healthy, well-adjusted people go to find the love of their life among the other actors, and one thing. And it's also presented as something that two buddies do when they, you know, they're bored for a night and they want to go have fun and they're going to build their friendship. What they do is they go watch porn. Well, the reality of the porn industry, I actually read, there's a, if you can stomach it, there's some good articles out there, what the porn industry actually does. It uses up women in about a year, generally, mm-hmm. Where they're absolutely, completely, physically, emotionally, spiritually devastated after about 1 year, and financially devastated too.
Why is that? Because they're having to get drunk, to get high, to be on very, very strong other drugs in order to get themselves to the point where they're going to stand in front of a camera
and be abused.
And next to nothing or nothing and be sexually abused potentially, to give away their sexuality to another person. But not only that, to have camera crews and set crews just standing there watching. That's not something normal. The state that these women are just to be involved in that moment has completely torn down who they are and what they are.
And I think that the stories that are coming out about all these guys, I think it helps maybe pull down a little bit of those, that curtain. I think that's what I appreciate about this is that, you know, we can have this facade about how Hollywood is glamorous and all the dirty jokes and, oh, you know, that's okay. And we can be sexually promiscuous. No, behind the scenes, if you pull the curtain down and beyond the propaganda, it's nasty, physically and spiritually and emotionally devastating. It's killing people. And that's the real story, and we need to get beyond sort of the Hollywood propaganda to see the real thing.
From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending.
Trending
with Don and Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
I know that we keep talking about this current sexual abuse scandal that's been breaking. You know, now you have Hollywood, you have Terry Richardson, who's done all these photo shoots for Vogue. You know, I look at Terry Richardson, who has worked notoriously, for example, with Miley Cyrus on Wrecking Ball, Big Surprise, which, by the way, she now regrets doing. You have Lindsay Lohan, and look at the different steps that she's taken in her life and how he got her to point a gun at her own head in some of her photo shoots. You have, for example, I'm sorry, but group sex stimulations with Glee characters, stars like Liam Michael and Corey Monte and others, where, by the way, they also regret these different photo shoots they've done. But then you also have conversation where people are asking, well, what about Britney Spears' little sister, Jamie Lynn Spears, right? She was known to be greater and bigger than Britney Spears ever would be. She was on that path, and then all of a sudden she has a teen pregnancy and is out. And some of the question is, was it this man all these years, Dan Schneider, who had been abusing her? You know, I can't help but look at this, and it makes me ask the question. You were talking about this before this last break. You know, look at the different sexual innuendos throughout the shows now. Is that something that we ourselves are okay with watching and allowing other people to watch when we know the culture behind it? You know, and I'm not trying to come out here being all puritanical. Hey, we can't watch anything. But I think we need to be a lot more careful with what we are participating in. Just like with pornography. You know, I remember long before the pornography debate was taking place the way it is now, we knew that it was as addictive. I remember, you know, 15 years ago, I'd talk about it and I'd say, hey, there's someone there in that video. There's someone there in that picture, and you don't know the point that they've been degraded to. The same thing with these simple children who are making these sex jokes every few minutes on TV, whether they know it or not. And I'm going to guarantee they probably do know it most of the time. These kids aren't dumb, but you know what we're exposing ourselves to and what we're continuing to support? I think we're at a point in time where we've got to draw a line.
Well, and drawing the line is the issue, isn't it? Like, where do you draw the line? Because the idea has been that all manner of sexual activity is fine as long as it's what? Consensual? Okay, consensual. That's what we've, right? I mean, that's been the thing. And that's why this has been now rejected. And rightly so, right? I mean, yes, we should be rejecting people like Weinstein and all that. Because what was their crime? It's that they did something that somebody else didn't consent to. If those people had consented to this, nobody theoretically would be objecting. Now, my point is that's actually a really arbitrary standard, and that if you're okay with two consenting people objectifying each other, chances are, one, they're not both okay with it. So, for example, when you have a woman practicing promiscuous sex in a college culture, for example, she may say, yeah, I'm okay with it. Yeah, I'm going to consent. But deep down in her sight, she doesn't actually want to be objectified by all of the men on her campus. That's right. Not what she goes into. But that is what's happening. She is being objectified. And so I would say that even that line is actually pretty blurry.
Well, you know, as you're talking about this, I have a dear friend that I grew up with who now identifies as being gay. And it breaks my heart when I think about her. I've been thinking about her a lot lately and praying for her. I remember watching when she went off to college. I remember seeing as she put post up one night after another in college. And let me tell you, she was as straight as could be. But she'd be putting these posts up where I was drunk last night. I was high last night. I woke up with someone's, you know what, on my arm. Didn't know where I was. Didn't know whose bed I was in. And I'm not kidding. It was like a public diary one night after another. I finally had to remove it from my newsfeed. I was so brokenhearted. Lo and behold, should there be any surprise that this poor girl was so degraded, so taken advantage of because of the lifestyle and the drug culture that was supporting this, that now she's saying, I don't know if I like men or women. Is there any surprise? You know, we're seeing the reality of this, and it's this culture that we allow for, the excuses we make in small ways that build up to the destruction of who we are.
Yeah. The thing is, this woman was actually abused. Like, even if she was, quote, consensual, and by consensual, we're talking about, I'm going to get so drunk that I am beyond decision making.
Exactly. It wasn't consensual.
It's not consensual if you're wasted.
Exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, where's the line? If you're okay with objectifying others, ultimately, you're going to have a hard time arguing against all of these predators, because everybody, to some degree or another, is a predator to other people, right? This is what we've been telling. The sexual revolution was saying to people, you can objectify that person. You can be a predator. In fact, much of Cosmo magazine has been teaching women now for 50 years, it's okay for you to be a predator just like the men are predators to you. That's their explicit message. It's disgusting, but it's also not far off from what we're seeing with all of these actual, like, no, I see that this guy's a predator. No, everybody's a predator. And so I think if we're going to really deal with this issue, we have to go beyond just locking up. And I hope he gets locked up. People like Weinstein and this Nickelodeon guy. But we have to go beyond that and say, I'm not okay with a photographer who's taking pictures of women urinating in the snow, whether or not they consented to it or not. You know what, that photographer, he is so well respected. He did a photo shoot with the Obama family. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, he was okay culturally before all this stuff came out. Now he's fired. But before that, like a couple of years ago, knowing all that we know, he was culturally enough respected that he could go and photograph the president. There's a picture of him with the president, both thumbs up. Oh, aren't we buddies?
And he's a photographer at the time, too.
Yes. That's what I'm saying. Like, we can't, if you're not willing to attack that, if you're not willing to say no more porn, you're not going far enough. And I think you got to go beyond that, right? But you at least got to go to say, okay, no more porn.
Right.
And if you're going to say no more porn, may I ask you, on what basis are you saying that? You know, you really got to dig down deep and say, well, what do I understand about sex? What do I understand about who we are as people? And I know we talk about it a lot on the show, Timmy, but this is why, I mean, this is the cultural issue right now.
And you know, on Trending, we talk about some of the toughest topics, but here's the deal, you guys. Our church, on its teaching on sexual morality, is the greatest gift. Because we can understand and look at the desires written on the very design of our body, the desires written into our emotions, written into the chemical, biochemical makeup of our bodies. It has a purpose and it is good, but taken out of that context can be so damaging for us in the long run. It can be damaging for us today, whether it's a young woman who's facing a teen pregnancy and doesn't know who the father is, whether it's a young man who now has a sexually transmitted disease, or whether it's a young couple who don't end up getting married because they started having sex before marriage and now they're just shacking up and living together.
Or they had sex before marriage and then they got married and now they're having all sorts of problems because they were shacked up before.
You know, you guys, the church is teaching. You know, I'll never forget there was this conference that I used to go to that my mom would always work at. She had a pro-life booth and there were always these little mints and it always said, sex is a mint for marriage. And it's so funny because my mom would always get so annoyed because she just, the fact that that word even had to be out on a mint on our table was just kind of annoying. And she goes, I just don't get these. And it would annoy her that they were here. And we're like, sex is meant for marriage. And we're trying to enforce it. That's why that was there. But there's this beauty to it. If you have sex within marriage, you do not have to worry about a teen pregnancy, right? You do not have to worry about a totally unplanned pregnancy outside of not having a husband and a wife there present for this child. You shouldn't be stressing to the extent about so many of these issues that we are today. You guys, sex is something that is good, true, and beautiful. And there's a reason that one of the very first miracles Jesus Christ performs is out of obedience to his mother at the wedding feast at Cana, recognizing you see that marriage is a good that our Lord is present in, and marriage is at the heart of the family life, at the heart of sexuality. And this is why we're saying yes. This is good, but out of context, it can be so harmful for who we are.
Yeah, I mean, just try to think of one major social problem that we have today that wouldn't be a million times better if everybody got married and only had kids within a stable marriage. Like, think of one, like one major social issue that isn't at some level caused by family breakdown, which leads to social disintegration. And why is that family breaking down? Probably because of adultery or sexual misconduct of some kind. I'm trying to think of one that you couldn't, like, relate back to ultimately to a misunderstanding of what sex is.
Absolutely. And you know what, Don? I travel all over speaking to teenagers, young adults, adults. Don, they're hungry for this. No matter what the wound is that they are struggling through, no matter what the questions are that they have about that topic, they're hungry and they see something that's true and that speaks to them. And this is why we're doing what we are. This is why you're doing a documentary on the sexual revolution and the impact it's had. And we're here saying no. You have so much value.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. This is Trending with Don and Timmery on Relevant Radio. To learn more about Don Johnson or Timmery Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit donjohnsonministries.org or timmery.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.
A couple of weeks ago, Timmery introduced us to a new word, sologamy. Apparently, this is a thing now where people can marry themselves. And we offered you the story of a young lady in the UK, if I remember correctly, who married herself, had a big ceremony, got some gifts. I'm trying to think, who are her friends that are going along with this? Like, nope, sorry. You know, we may be friends, but I'm not going to get you a wedding present if you're marrying yourself.
One girl, this girl we're talking about today, her dad walked her down the aisle. And I'm just going,
who?
Oh, okay.
Dad walked her.
Okay.
And delivered her to herself?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we have an update. We have an update on one of these sologamists who has been married to herself for 2 years, but unfortunately, it's over because she cheated on herself.
To another man who was married to himself.
Oh, okay. Even better. So they both cheated on them.
I just can't understand
that. Some things, you honestly, there's so many stories these days that you have to really double check. Is this The Onion? Like, is this satire or is this real life? Because it's really blurred a lot of times. And this is one of those where like, oh, come on now. But okay. All right. Anyway, quick update. She's broken up. She cheated on herself.
You know, I'm not surprised, though. You know, the one girl we talked about a couple weeks ago, she spoke her vows into a mirror so that she spoke her vows to herself. But are we surprised? I see these girls taking their selfies and the faces they are making at themselves as they take the pictures. The pictures that they are posting on social media, it's just, it's so ridiculous that we really, in many ways, have become very self-indulged in ourselves. And it makes me think about this, Don, kind of putting a different twist on it. You know, women are beautiful. Women are very beautiful. You know, we've talked before about how there are differences between men and women. There's a reason that men are more attracted to, are more sexually oriented because they're more visually oriented, and women in general are better looking of the sex. I know, scandalous to say, but it's just true. You know, that woman's chest is showing very nicely. It's not just the men that are looking, it's the women that are too. It's like a big elephant in the room. You know, the woman's got nice legs. She's wearing a beautiful outfit. She's got a nice body. You know, she has a beautiful face. Everyone's paying attention. She radiates the room, and there's something good about that. But there's something wrong when we as women have gotten to the point where we've become obsessed with ourselves. And this is something I see right now, that in the midst of this self-obsession, you have women who are marrying themselves. You have women who cannot leave themselves alone for even a day. And I mean this. I'm not saying an hour. You should be able to leave yourselves for days without taking a picture of yourself, you guys. Honestly, but we can't even go an hour anymore. You know, I refuse to use Snapchat, you know, every now and again, maybe to my siblings. But at the same time, I think that there's something wrong with allowing that door to be open to have this self-obsession.
Now, is it, I'm a bit of two minds on this. Is it like narcissism, which would be a vice, obviously,
right,
where you're just so focused on yourself? Or is it a self-objectification that is really a cry for someone out there? And maybe it's both. I'm sure it's probably there's instances of both. But a cry for someone out there. I just want to be intimate with someone. Please, please look at me and be intimate with me. I'm gonna show you myself. I'm gonna objectify myself. I get it, but it's always been mind-boggling, the selfies that women take of, like, you know, themselves in the bathroom or whatever, which seems really
nice,
like,
toilet.
Yeah, like, it's really weird that you're undressed and you're also, but I kind of get it, because it's an intimate place. Like, you don't get to see somebody in the bathroom until you're married. You know, like, that's my mindset. And even after that, I know, like, I've no young couples who are like, ooh, I really don't, you know, even after I get married, I kind of want, you know, I don't want them to, right?
Yes.
Because you're, that's so intimate, right? It's such a private place. That's part of me that, you know, I can't really let you in, because that's only for a certain person who I really trust and I really want to know me. Like, you, I want to know that you're not going to treat me badly, right? I mean, that's, yeah, when that, I mean, and traditionally, that's when we open up to someone. We wear clothes because other people are, they don't always have our best interests at heart, right? Like, they're going to objectify us. Like, God gave us covering in the garden because we had lost our perfection. Like, now we are going to use each other, and so we need some protection. And I just feel like, what, these women that are in the bathroom naked and they're sending these pictures out to everybody, they're saying, I am so desperate for intimacy that I'm willing to let you jump, like, right to that stage. You know, it's like, you get to go right into me naked in the bathroom. You're so lonely, I guess, and you're so confused about what it means to be intimate. Like, it's so objectifying again. And I don't know, is it, I feel like maybe that's part of it. Obviously, I'm not a woman, so I don't know. But I feel like you're crying out for something there.
There are so many elements. I think that you just expressed one of the elements. You know, this desire for love and attention. Or even if it's not a desire for physical attention, but to be admired, you know? And to be, there's something wonderful about you. Not even that I need just to be, oh, there's something beautiful. Or even, you know, and I think this is part of it. The way we look in a mirror and how much we look into the mirror. You know, growing up dancing, I spent hours every day with a mirror in front of me. And it wasn't until years later, when I didn't have that mirror in front of me all the time, you'd realize, you know, you're constantly checking in the mirror, in that window, or whatever it might be. Man, when you start to protect your own eyes from staring at yourself, even, there's something really strong to behold there, and recognizing, I don't get my self-worth from the way I view myself in the mirror. Now, this isn't me talking about self-esteem necessarily, but I know that for a lot of women, that is part of it. But there can be this self-obsession with there's something beautiful before me. And I think that a lot of young girls today are both crying out looking for attention, but also so see, there is actually something beautiful or that can be more beautiful based on the way I tilt my head or the way I stand or what I'm wearing, you know, and I think there's so much to this.
Yeah, no, that's a good, I mean, there's always a truth there underneath, right? Like the woman is beautiful and to recognize that, but not in an objectifying way, I guess, right? Like that's what the pictures and the selfies, they're a little, I don't know. It's not pictures, you know, if you're sharing with other people so that they can be intimate with you. I mean, I get it, right? I mean, that's right. It's not a bad thing. That's why we have picture albums. That's why grandparents want the pictures of the kids. I mean, pictures are not a bad thing. But when you are to the point where you're only looking at yourself, mm-hmm. I guess you're so, like the narcissism thing. Like to me, a lot of these girls, I know they get called narcissists. I don't think they're narcissists because the narcissism thing is when you are enraptured with how great you are, falsely, mm-hmm. right? Like you have a vain view. It used to be called vainglory, right? Like, right. You know, that's a vice, vainglory. What do you mean? Vain means false. And glory, like you're glorying in yourself, right. But you're not actually that glorious, right? Like you have a false view of yourself, and that's pride. Like pride is vain glory. And so you know, when people are narcissistic, they just think, I am the most, I mean, I'm going to, my pecs are so great that I'm just going to show, you must be as happy with my pecs as I am. This is me, obviously. my pecs are outstanding. Well, hopefully the Facebook, maybe this doesn't come across as on radio, but I'm rolling my eye here. but that's narcissism. There are, I'm sure, narcissistic women. I think there's probably more narcissistic men out there who, like those guys, that are sending the naked pics of themselves to women. See, that to me is more narcissism. Women don't actually want to see that. Okay.
No.
Like women didn't. Am I right or am I wrong?
No, we don't.
Right?
Please don't ever.
They don't want to see it.
But most men know that.
No, I don't think they do. I actually know because why? Here's why, Tim Marie. Because they're narcissists. They're literally like, this is what
this
I'm saying.
This is a great moment to be on Facebook Live. I'm legitimately dying right now.
This is what I'm saying. Like for a guy, I think guys are much more prone to be narcissistic. And for a guy who, like you said, more visually oriented, they're like, whoa, I'm so impressed with my pecs. I'm going to send them. And she's going to be too. Whereas the woman is like, I want intimacy. I want to know you're a good person. I want to know you've got a job. And I want to know you can raise a family. Like that's what's attractive to as me as a woman.
Yeah.
Whereas a guy.
Are you having identity issues right now, Don?
No, because like I said, the pecs just aren't there for me to be proud about. But for a guy who completely misunderstands the situation, who isn't the woman's going to be really impressed with this naked picture that I'm going to send to her.
Right.
Totally. So that I do believe is a difference. There's a difference between male selfies and female selfies.
Well, and kind of throwing a little different of a view on it. You know, I danced for many years and I've been coming back into dancing the last 6 months. I've been trying to just get in as often as I can. And it's really tough and I've got to be okay. You know, if it goes a few weeks, it's okay. But I realized, you know, over the years, I've grown a lot in my faith and my, you know, all about myself. You know, I have grown in different ways. And coming back to dance, you know, I get in front of that mirror to take ballet classes and the natural instinct is to watch yourself the entire time in the mirror. You are your companion in that class. And I don't anymore. And, you know, you interact with other people and you see the people watching themselves the whole time. There is so much freedom in going, I'm free. I'm doing what I love. And it's a gift, even if it's not perfect. But also, that's not where I'm supposed to be. I'm not supposed to be sitting here watching myself and saying I'm not good enough or look how wonderful I am. I'm called to dance and be free in that gift. Just like we're not sitting here meant to worship every work and moment that we do in our lives. And I think maybe dance is a little more easily to see. It's easier to see that we do worship what we do a lot of the time because you've got the mirror in front of you. But we do that with a lot of our work.
Yeah, well, I think that's interesting. I hadn't thought of dance that way, but I suspect that other people view life that way, just not as explicitly. I think like that's a great metaphor for the rest of us who aren't dancing, but we're looking at ourselves a lot.
Or criticizing
ourselves a lot, or trying to get my life to look the way I want it to look in the Instagram post, you know, that sort of thing, like present. And it is sort of self-focused. It is very much, okay, what am I thinking? What am I feeling? Rather than just enjoying the moment, enjoying those around me, looking at the good. I mean, it's tough.
Right.
It's tough to do. But yeah, that's definitely the key to a healthier lifestyle.
Timmery and Don will be right back. Tweet them at Timmery. That's T-I-M-M-E-R-I-E. And at Don Johnson Media. From the Southern California studios of Relevant Radio, you're listening to Trending.
Trending.
With Don and Timmery, offering an eternal perspective on today's hottest topics.
Hey, just a little plug for anyone who's followed over the last 2 years, the Planned Parenthood scandal. David DeLeiden with the Center of Medical Progress, who went over it and has just totally exposed the fetal trafficking of these baby body parts, a lack of consent with the women, has released two new videos with a woman who, Holly, who was featured in the STEM Express scandal a couple years ago. He's now done a couple of interviews with her, exposing more of the process of how the fetal tissue is procured and just the illegal elements of how they're going in and targeting these women, the way they're procuring, the way they're reassembling the baby body parts. You guys, I'm tweeting them out. Please make sure you watch them and be informed, because the impact of sharing them is huge.
Yeah, it's and beyond even the legal aspects of it, just the evil. I mean, just the straight evil. And she has a portion of her interview where she talks about the first time she went in and put the forceps on one of the body parts. And she said she could feel the pain rush through her arm. And it's just, it's this powerful moment.
She passed out.
But I was just so striking. Like, she could feel the pain of the baby. Physically, she felt it in her arm before she passed out. And so, yeah, I'm honestly, Timmery, I'm a guy, I don't like watching that stuff. I don't like to be that close to evil, but it is important. Like you said, it is important to be aware, to realize what's going on. We got the truth has to come out. And so, yeah, please do that. Hey, speaking of truth coming out, when Wikipedia started a few years ago, their goal was to put the entirety of human knowledge on the internet. Everything there is to know, we want it available right here. And hey, that's kind of cool. You know, like, all right, you know, pretty audacious goal, but let's try that. Very interesting piece at Wired.com this last week that Wikipedia now is in a bit of an existential crisis. They're in trouble. Yeah. And here's what it is. There is flattening growth rate in the number of contributors to the website. And what that means, of course, is that there's less people contributing to the wealth of human knowledge by adding information to Wikipedia. And if you're not familiar, just a quick primer, it's open source stuff. Like, you can just go in and type information about anything on Wikipedia, basically, right? And people sort of self-edit, and, you know, it's kind of, I use it. I mean, you got to be careful when you're using Wikipedia, but it's kind of a cool thing. But here's the thing, there's less information being put on there now. People are not that interested in adding to knowledge.
Isn't that interesting?
One of the reasons they think they are not interested in adding to knowledge is that people, frankly, are just less interested in knowledge. We're not going to.
We have too much info.
Well, here's the thing. I remember years ago when I first started blogging, this would have been like mid-2000s, right? When blogging was starting to take off, and I thought, hey, this is pretty cool. I actually wrote a blog post about how blogging might save civilization. I remember this specifically because I had been reading people like Marshall McLuhan and some of those other guys whose name escaped me right now, but talking about how we are amusing ourselves to death is the title of one of the books, and how we have become an image-based culture, that we don't read words anymore. We just look at images.
Right.
And images, nothing wrong with images, but images do something different than words. Images, they provoke an emotion. They don't provide philosophical knowledge for the most part. I mean, you can get some knowledge, but primarily images are about emotions. That's why as a filmmaker, I'm doing something very different, for example, than writing a book. So when I tackle writing a book, I have a specific goal in mind. I want to provide you information and all that stuff. On film, I'm primarily interested in getting an emotion out of you, because that's what film does. That's what images do. We make a mistake when we try to preach, for example, through movies. That's what makes boring movies. All right. All that to say, when blogging started, I thought, you know what? It's very word-based. People are reading words. This is great. And so I said, you know what? If we are going to read, because newspapers had been on the decline, right? And we had people are watching TV. And now, hey, the internet and blogging might just save civilization because we're going to read words and we're going to interact with ideas. Just to give you a quick example. So we just passed the Reformation anniversary, right? And one of the big things about the Reformation was this debate over justification, right? What does it mean that we are justified? And there's a lot of philosophy and theology that goes on, a lot of thinking, a lot of abstract concepts that happen. That debate would never happen if you didn't have words, is all I'm saying. Like, you couldn't present the gospel and your doctrine of justification if you just had pictures. Right? Like, well, what? you can show Jesus on the cross. You can show Jesus rising from the dead. You're not going to get justification as a definition out of those pictures, is all I'm saying. Like, that's just a quick example of how that works, right? Abstract concepts need words. That's why God gave us words for one of the reasons, and why he is very concerned about idolatry is another. Anyway, all that to say, blogging was supposed to save civilization, according to Wikipedia and according to me. It hasn't. And you know why it hasn't? Because people no longer write words. What do you see when you scroll Facebook or Instagram? Nothing, nothing but pictures. No more words. Nothing but pictures after picture after picture. Even, and I, like, first rule now of blogging, you know, and it started about 2 or 3 years after blogging started, you had to include a big picture.
All throughout the blog.
All throughout the blog, right. Or nobody was going to look at it. So our image-based culture has sucked in all of our attempt at becoming wordy. And now Wikipedia, sorry, it's just going to be a big picture book from now on.
Well, and it's so interesting because if you study like the epochs of communication, you know, you start originally with carvings, right? Carvings, it was something that could only be done one-to-one, you know, these ideographic images and drawings. And then you have the alphabet, and then you can now send things over a distance one-on-one. And then you move on to the printing press, and now you have, you know, religion and things that can be both one-to-one, but also more so one-to-many and the influence of this. And then broadcast to everyone. You have all these electronic media and now social media. Now anyone can share anything with everyone all at once, instantly. And the power of that is huge. But again, are we being smart with how we're doing it? Are we learning more?
Yeah, I don't think we are because we're relying on the images, right? Because we just go with the image and the emotion, and we have stopped thinking about stuff. We just feel about it.
Well, we go with what's easy. It's easier to look at an image than to read paragraphs of someone's comment on their Instagram picture. Because, I mean, that's part of the reason why I like Instagram. I can look at people's lives without having to hear their commentary sometimes.
I don't have to hear the story about your trip. No, I say, you know what? I saw the pictures. I got it. That's so true.
Yeah.
But you're also not going to get into a deep discussion necessarily about, you know, the great things of life, you know, the big questions of life. When all you're doing is, listen, I got 47 more likes to hit on my Instagram feed here. And, you know, you have to write and everything has to be very short. You know how short our attention span has become because of the media. Your video now has to be about 30 seconds or less or nobody's going to watch it, right? I mean, you don't put up some 10-minute video. I don't have time for that. I got Instagram to scroll through for the next 10 minutes.
Well, speaking of some good 30-second videos, Will Ferrell just put out a series of videos on really the dinner table in phones. And what's funny is that I'm like, oh man, I don't feel like watching any long videos. Oh, this one's 45 seconds. This one's only 15, man.
They knew exactly what they were doing. That's right. It's a PSA. I encourage you to Google this. Will Ferrell's PSA about iPhone distracted parents. They are pretty funny.
They're excellent.
And basically, he's the dad, and he's got his family around the table, and there's several of them. You know, they want him to put his, and he's distracted by his phone. He's not interacting with his family.
They have the dad there with the family, and at one point, they have the basket where everyone's supposed to put the phone in the basket, but he won't, and he complains during dinner, I'm only at 2%, or, hey, stop. They're talking about mourning, and they're really sad about something, and the dad's there, like, really loud, could you guys just shut up for a second? I'm trying to take this picture. I've got this nice filter. You know, but it's true. true. This is legitimately what's happening at the dinner table.
Isn't it interesting that when you think about PSAs, like, you know, what do we make that's a public service announcement, that's, it's so obvious that phones have become a detriment to family life. Right. That they're willing to make PSAs about it. Here's what I'd like to see, Timory. I'd like to see some PSAs about not only phones, but porn, divorce, premarital sex, all of those things. Let's have some PSAs about the rest of the things that are destroying family life. Because you're right. I mean, phones certainly are one, but there's a whole bunch more, isn't there?
You know, I have two brief challenges for you. Challenge number one, I've turned my phone into black and white. Everything on it is black and white. And it's amazing. I look at my phone, I'm like, you're so dissatisfying constantly. But it's changed how I look at my phone. And, you know, the second one is, if you're a selfie person, go 1 day, 2 days, 3 days. Don't take a selfie. Just try it out. See what happens.
And let us know how that goes next time.
From the studios of Relevant Radio, this has been Trending with Dawn and Timory. Trending. To learn more about Dawn Johnson or Timory Millington, or to book either of them to speak, visit DawnJohnsonMinistries.org or Timory.com. And be sure to share and rate the podcast of the show on iTunes.